This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
You're listening to the best of
Newsish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons.
It's a special section this week because last week Mark ended up on a tangent where he opened up about some dreams that he's had, that he's experienced. Yes, very odd. And we wanted to find out a little bit more about these dreams and what they might have meant. So we've got with us a special guest, dream expert Ian Wallace. Good afternoon, Ian.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Mark. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm very good too, thanks.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for the invitation.
It's all right. So basically what happened is Mark ended up on a tangent and he went into some detail about his dream. Mark, do you want to explain to Ian the dream?
Hi, Ian.
Hey, Mark. Go ahead.
So basically I have this one quite a lot, and I'm in my house, and it's not always my house. It could be sort of other houses, and there's sort of people. It's sort of I'm under siege, and they're coming in. And to start with, I'm sort of trying to hide, and then eventually I end up outside the house, like running away from them, and then it just keeps going until I wake up.
Yeah, that's a great dream, Mark. So it sounds quite scary, but it's actually really powerful and positive. Mm. So the number one dream symbol worldwide that everyone uses is the house, and we use it to represent ourselves, Mark, because houses have got inside and outside, and so do we. Mm. So when you dream that you're in your house, Mark, even though it's not your house, it's something to do with your identity, how you feel that you're showing up in waking life. And in this house, when it's not your house, Mark, is it a big house, a small house? What size of house is it?
It's quite a big house.
Yeah. So I'm not doing any kind of Daily Mail stuff here trying to find the property price. I'm just wanting to get an idea of how you perceive your identity.
Big house, is it sort of what? Three-bedroom, bungalow, what?
It's quite like a country house with big rooms.
That's your house. You live in the country and you have big rooms.
Oh, yeah.
Right, sorry. Go on, Ian.
Yeah, so good to do a bit of property identification there. So if it's a big house, Mark, with lots of rooms, then it suggests that you have a big identity and you've got lots of aspects to your identity. All the rooms in the house represent different parts of your character. So the kitchen's how you look after yourself and other people, the bedroom's where you're most relaxed and at home with yourself and so on. Oh. So what you're doing, Mark, there's something in your waking life where you're reflecting on your identity and how you can inhabit that identity and really embody it in the way you want to. But you feel that your identity is under siege in some way. And it's probably because in waking life, you feel that you have to show up in a certain way to keep other people happy and try and win their approval. So you're trying to win other people's approval, and that's why you're under siege. You're trying to defend yourself against that. You're trying to defend your own needs and your own identity. But you feel that you have to collaborate and just make compromises and try and fit in.
That's very interesting because Mark is, I don't know if you know, Mark is a comedian. His job is to go and try and please people and make them like him.
Yeah. So that's exactly what's happening your dream, Mark. And then you go into hiding. So is your on-stage persona, Mark, a bit different from your normal persona?
Yeah, a little bit, I suppose.
Slightly more intelligent.
From your number one fan and agent there, Sean. Yeah. So with that, so there's some part of your talent probably, Mark, that you're hiding from the audience. So this suggests that you've got something that could make you an even better comedian by tapping into that. Mm. But you run away from it. And running away or being chased is the number one most common dream. So we said the house was the dream symbol, but the most common dream event is running away. And it's all about when you're following a pursuit in waking life, because a pursuit means chasing something or being chased. Mm. So in your pursuit of being a great comedian, Mark, there's probably some part of your talent you're hiding. And rather than trying to please other people and feeling a bit under siege and a bit under pressure, you need to connect with that talent and then use that as a fundamental part of your performance in waking life.
Wow, thank you for that, Ian. Now, you talked about common dreams there. Me and Mark, actually, it came out in last week's episode that we had the same dream. Now, I think this is probably obvious, obviously about anxiety, but we both have a dream where, I'll give you a more detailed description. I'm looking out my bedroom window, and I've had this since I was a child, my bedroom window in Brighton, and we lived on top of a hill, and a tidal wave is coming over Brighton and heading towards my house. Now, it never actually gets me, but it's total destruction. And Mark, you have the same dream?
I have tidal waves quite a lot, yeah.
So tidal waves coming at us.
Yeah, so this is a really, really common dream. And even for people who don't live near the sea or have had any experience of the sea. So I've done some dream analysis with people who stay in Kyrgyzstan and in Mongolia in the far west of China who have never seen the sea, but they have the same dream.
Wow.
And the reason for that is that we use imagery to express our emotions. And what a dream is a fundamental way of processing all the emotions that you experience during the day. And most of it happens unconsciously. So you're trying to process these emotions, and you do that using images. And one of the fundamental images is water. So we use water to symbolize feelings and emotions. And that's why we've got idioms like, I'm at a low ebb, or I'm pouring my heart out, or floods of tears,
yes,
or all that sort of thing. So when you create a dream with that tsunami, then you have this feeling that there's going to be this big emotional change in your life, or you're concerned about this big sweeping emotion that's going to sweep you away and maybe change things completely in your life. And you're trying to hold that tide of change back all the time. And that's quite often why the tsunami seems to be hovering a bit offshore or never actually seems to reach you. So, and again, it goes back to Mark's dream about his house. So in this dream, Mark, you're trying to connect with a deeper part of your identity. And what the tsunami symbolizes for both of you is the realization that you have a far deeper emotional power than you usually connect with. And if you can tap into that and actually channel the power of the tsunami rather than just worrying about what might happen when you engage with your emotions, then you can start to do some really powerful transformations in your waking lives.
Right. There you go. Well, thank you. Before you go in, we won't take up all your time, but we've just got some a bit more odd dreams here for you that people have tweeted in. I've got one here from Tom Gregory, who says, I was allowed to the top of a high-tech building by Richard Branson, and floor turned into an elaborate slide that took me back to the bottom.
Yeah, so this is another. Yes, it's another building dream. So the building's all about character. So Tom has had the invitation, probably something in his professional life, to go up through different levels in his professional life, and that's probably why Richard Branson's showing up in it. So Tom's got the opportunity to elevate his professional life, but he's really worried that when he gets to the top, he'll feel really insecure and slide all the way back down to the bottom. So rather than worrying about sliding all the way back down to the bottom, he just looks how he can go higher and higher. So maybe next time, ask Richard for a shot of one of his helicopters and head for an even higher building.
Okay, some good advice there. Thank you, Ian. Well, we won't take up any more of your time. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure, guys. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Ian. Ta-da.
Bye-bye. Bye.
There you go. Ian Wallace there, dream expert.
Yeah.
Heavy stuff.
Yeah, like I'm trying to think what part of my character that I need to tap into to make me a better stand-up. What do you think that is?
I thought maybe perhaps your Tai Chi.
My Tai Chi?
Yeah.
Taekwondo, you mean?
Oh, whatever.
They're very different.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Sorry, I just thought it was another, like, it's ninja, karate, taekwondo. I can't keep up. Right, but taekwondo, you put that in your act. How impressive would that be? One night a comedian who then suddenly does roundhouse kicks. Imagine that, Milton Jones with backflips.
But how would that... That's not funny, though, is it?
What, a backflip?
No, I can't do a backflip.
I always thought, why has a comedian never done a backflip?
Really?
Like in his or her act.
But isn't it showing off? And then that's not funny because you're meant to be someone that can't do stuff like that, aren't you, as a comedian?
Well, I don't know if you're doing an act out and get hit by a car. You actually did a backflip. It'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
There you go. So did that help you there? Were you expecting such an intense analysis of your dream?
Well, no. I don't know if it helped as much, but it's nice to know what it all means, didn't it? So now that when I have different dreams, I'll be able to sort of, oh, that's the building. So that's my character.
So next time you're in a house, you go, oh, this is me.
Yeah.
There you go. So if you're in a big sort of Empire State Building, you go, oh, I feel big. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There you go.
Lots of character.
Okay, well, there you go. We hope that helped the listeners. I didn't want to go on for too long.
Yeah.
There you go.
Very interesting stuff, though.
Interesting stuff. You were so awkward.
At the beginning.
You know why I was amazing. Hang on. He went, like, it's lovely to be here.
Yeah.
Hello. And you went, thank you. Like, You meant to say hello.
So you'd already answered. And so I didn't want to say exactly the same thing as you'd said.
We're talking to both of us. You can both say thank you.
I'll tell you what I haven't. I think it happened last week when Paul McCaffrey was on.
Yeah.
I haven't mastered this three-way conversation thing. I find it really uncomfortable.
Conference calling. It is difficult.
It is weird. I'm not sure when to pop in and say what. And you can't say the same thing as you.
No, that is pointless. But you can't, if someone's saying hello, you can't say hello.
But then when I started telling the story, you started pissing yourself, laughing.
Yeah, I was under the desk.
Yeah, and I was trying not to laugh.
I know.
And I was trying to tell the story.
And he was being, you know, he was taking his job very seriously, which is good of him to
do. Yeah, and if I started laughing, then he'd think we're a bunch of jokers. So
we are a bunch of jokers. The amount of times I had to stop myself from butting in. Yeah, and behaving.
Mm.
Right, there you go.
He's a nice man, though, wasn't he?
Very nice man. There you go. A bit of character analysis for you there, Ian. We could look at some other dreams ourselves throughout the show.
And
we'll pepper what we think it
means.
Exactly. Now that we know a bit.
Yeah.
You know, we're experts now.
I feel like
dream
we
experts,
are.
Mark Simmons, Sean Walsh. So look, it's a news show. It's the news-ish radio show. Let's look at the front pages.
Yeah.
Before we do, just quickly, today is hashtag Mean Girls Day, apparently. Now, I don't know what that means. I think it might just be because Mean Girls, the film, was released today several years ago.
Could mean average girls.
What? Oh, their little pun.
Little joke.
By Mark Simmons there. Very clever. Very good. So, Mark, obviously, we will be respectfully ignoring the devastating attack in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. We'll be moving on to lighter news. But broadsheets, most of the broadsheets, obviously, this keeps on happening now. This is in theme. This is the running storyline in broadsheet world, is Boris Johnson heading for the hot seat. Going against what Theresa May is saying. You know, her policies, going, no, we shouldn't be doing it like that. We should be doing it another way.
Yeah.
So that's generally across the broadsheets.
How's that going to get him her job?
Well, it's putting her under pressure.
Right.
What I don't understand is why Boris Johnson hasn't just been sacked. Now, lots of ministers are coming out. Hammond, the health secretary, I think Amanda Rudd has come out and said... Amber Rudd has come out and said, you know, he should be sacked. Lots of ministers coming out saying Boris Johnson should be sacked. I don't know why he's not been sacked.
Can they just be sacked then?
Just for disagreeing
with someone? They can't not.
Yeah, but if she's the boss. She's prime minister. They're going out going... She's saying, basically, we should wait 5 years until we completely leave the EU. So within those 5 years, right, we're going to stick with the way things are to help the transition so that we don't have to rush things, basically, right? Boris Johnson's come out and gone, no, not 5 years, should be 2 years. 2019, we should be fully out, we shouldn't be using any of their laws, etc.
Right.
Right.
So is he hoping that the public are going to agree with him?
Yes.
And then push for him to be the main man?
Well, what will happen, perhaps, they start doing polls and people want Boris Johnson as Prime Minister as opposed to her. That will put pressure on her to resign.
Right.
If it gets to the next election, people won't vote for her. Then if it looks like they're starting to vote for Corbyn, that will put pressure on her to resign. Basically, what you want to do is make it look like she's doing the wrong thing so that she will have to step down.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So there you go. And that's generally across the papers. But we don't want to keep talking about that.
No.
Boris Johnson. Hogging the limelight.
Old BJ.
There you go. The other big news is, again, across all the broadsheets from The Guardian to The Times, and I got the eye because I was in a rush, is, of course, the end of Monarch Airlines.
Oh, yeah.
Big news. Did you hear about this?
Yeah. Saw it in The Sun.
You saw it in The Sun? So it's here. I'll be reading from The Times for now. Monarch passenger rescue plan hatched a month ago. So basically, this is about the fact that the government, they suspect, knew about this, knew that this was imminent, knew that this was going to happen, and didn't go public with it. So more than 700,000 air passengers caught up in the chaotic collapse of Monarch Airlines faced losing hundreds of pounds as it emerged that the government knew the company was in serious trouble a month ago. 700,000.
Wow. So hang on, so the government are the ones that are saving everyone?
The way it's working is the Civil Aviation Authority said that only 1 in 20 people affected by the demise of Britain's fifth biggest airline would get an automatic refund under the government-backed... It's called the ATOL scheme. So, the government have backed it, so yeah.
You know they're saying it's the fifth biggest one, like that's a big deal?
Yeah.
I don't think I could name more than five.
Okay.
I don't think I could name...
five British...
British Airways, number one.
Is EasyJet...
British, I reckon.
Yeah.
Ryanair, British, is it?
That's Irish.
Yeah, but which...
What? Which island? Northern Irish. I'd say, I think it's the Republic.
Oh, so that's not British?
No.
That's two then.
Virgin?
British, yeah.
Yeah, Richard Branson?
Yeah.
So you've got three?
Yeah. Monarch?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't think of any more. So it's like the worst one.
Flybe? Is that British?
Oh, yeah, it could be.
Could be British. We'll find out for you later. Stay tuned. We'll find out if Flybe is a British airline.
But still, there's only five, and it's only the fifth biggest. So it's like, oh, yeah, it's the worst one. So, yeah, it's a big deal. It's not unusual. They're selling it like it's a big deal. But
yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a Monarch flight.
I have.
Have you?
Yeah. I was on a Monarch flight when you could smoke on planes.
What?
Yeah, what do you mean, what?
You could smoke on... When could you smoke on planes?
You are joking me. You didn't know this.
You could... No way.
Well, you're such a numpty.
Well, that's not being a numpty. Why would you smoke on planes?
Oh, hang on. Just in, Flybe is a low-cost airline and the largest independent regional airline in Europe, based in Exeter, operating more UK domestic flights than any other airline. Boy, I can't shot.
There you go.
There you go. So, you learn something new every day, especially for listening to FUBAR Radio.
So, hang on. So, when they used to smoke on the planes, right?
Yeah.
Would the smoke then go outside?
Open the window?
Yeah,
what are you on about?
My point is, you can't just let everyone smoke in the whole place. They must have just been full of smoke.
Yeah, Lee Evans used to do material about it.
No.
Yeah, like, you could know, but what happened is, it was like a kid. It was like a school bus. Teenagers, you'd smoke at the back of the plane. So the smokers would be at the back of the plane, they'd smoke, and it didn't matter if you sat at the front anyway, you'd have to breathe in the smoke.
That's weird.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh. Did they?
Well, that way we might be talking more. Our producers walked in. Oh, I've not turned myself up properly. I've been a bit low.
Yeah, I thought that. I wasn't sure. But they sorted it out.
No, there you go. Sorted it back. I'm louder than ever. Probably a few people aren't too happy about that. But yeah, so so I could smoke. Well,
you
I could. I wasn't smoking.
How old
My
were
parents
you when
were
this
smoking.
Happened?
Like 10?
No way.
So it's like, yeah, 1995, you could smoke on a plane.
I would have been on a plane then, and I don't think. I don't remember people smoking. That's
madness.
Yeah,
but your parents are square, mate. Mine are rock and roll. They were in a marble reds at the back of the plane, haven't it?
I can't believe that was allowed.
That's why some planes still have ashtrays in the arm.
What?
Of the seats.
No,
yes!
They don't.
What are you doing?
Well, there's no plane that old. Don't get on that plane.
What I don't understand is, why do they still have the no smoking signs on a plane? Who doesn't know? Who's lighting up a fag on a plane?
Yeah.
You might as well have loads of signs up on the plane.
Well, to be fair, if there is
no murdering.
If there's an ashtray, then that might give them the impression that he might be allowed to smoke.
Yeah. But why put... No, what I don't understand, like train stations, no smoking in that. We know. It's been banned for like 10 years.
More than...
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I've just nicked a sandwich. You can't do that, mate. Well, there's no sign saying don't nick a sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah. You should know.
You should know the law.
You should know the law.
Oh, there you go. So basically...
That's what I thought about the law once, right?
That's what you thought about the law once. This is amazing.
No, I've never...
I want to get Ian Wallace to come back on and see if he can analyse your daydreams.
No,
What?
I forgot what we were talking about.
Oh, my God.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about Monarch Airlines going bust.
You started bringing Ian up, and I forgot. Wait. No, the law.
Every time I mention Ian Wallace, you lose your bottle.
But I do. It's made me a bit uncomfortable. the law, I don't know all the laws.
Okay.
So if I break one, how do I... Why am I being punished for something I didn't know I was doing wrong?
We'll be right back.
now it's time for local gossip. Thelma, have you heard Ralph has been sleeping with Georgina up the top of the road? His wife has only been dead a week. It's local gossip. I'm going to be talking to my mum to find out the news. Mum.
Hello.
Hello, Mum.
Hi there.
How's it going?
Not too bad.
You well. So you're in Brighton. This is where you live. You're on top of the hill of the Coombe Road area, where I grew up. Tell us what's the local news? What's the goss?
Oh, well, I've been away. I was staying in London, had a great time.
Well, you stayed in my flat because I was on a holiday.
Yes.
Yeah. Why have you covered that up? You made it sound like you're like second place or you're at a hotel. You stayed at my flat.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know if I, you know,
what?
Could mention it. But anyway.
Why not? Why did you mention that? What have you been up to in my flat?
I don't know. But, yeah, had a great time, and it was, you know, like coming back to Brighton and the street I'm living in. I just, there's this family living along here, the Dingles. And,
the Dingles, that's not their real name. You call them the Dingles.
No, I can't mention their real name.
No, you don't have to mention their real name, but they're just, you didn't say that we call them the Dingles. You said they're the Dingles.
We do. Everybody calls them the Dingles.
Yeah.
And they have to.
Because of Emmerdale.
Yeah. And there's a reason for that. Anyway. Yeah. But,
what's the reason? By the way, Mark's here. Sorry, Mark's here. Say hello to Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
You okay?
Yeah, good, thanks.
You know.
Sorry, carry on, Mum. Sorry.
Anyway, let me get on, yes. Yeah. And they have this obsession of collecting rusty cars. So you have them parked everywhere.
What do you mean an obsession with collecting rusty cars?
Well, they do. They just buy up rusty cars. So we've got them all down the street. It just looks like, I don't know, Beirut, I suppose.
Right.
And you know, and they look like, the family look like, you know those hillbillies from Deliverance? Well, they look like that. And the weird thing is, though, what is so funny, which we find really funny, is they all play the banjo. It's just unbelievable. Honestly, anyway, I've got to be careful, haven't I? I say really.
I don't think they listen to digital radio by the sounds of it.
Yeah, well, hopefully. But, you know, they're just a bloody nightmare. And we all just get sick of them, you know. We all just wish they'd die, but you know.
Don't say that! Mum, that is too much! You can't wish they'd die! Mum, that's
hello?
Awful!
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So really, that it's all about them all the time. You know, you meet people in the street and we're all talking about the Dingles.
Anything else?
No, it's pretty quiet at the moment. No, it's all, pretty quiet.
What's Dad been up to?
Well, nothing, as usual.
Yeah.
You know, same, I'm getting my bathroom done.
Oh, yeah, I know, I'm paying for it.
I know, and the thing is, though, I found these tiles, and I think they're about £6 each,
right.
The tile.
Is that a lot?
How big are they?
I think it is.
Mark's asking,
how big are they? How many would it take to fill them?
Oh, God, see, I'm not very good at measuring, but my daughter-in-law said it's going to cost a lot of money.
Daughter-in-law?
Well, Victoria.
Is that called her daughter-in-law?
Well,
they're not married.
Yeah. Well, they're buying a house together.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Do you call Rebecca, my other half, your daughter-in-law?
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. That's a bit creepy. Can you stop doing that?
Okay.
All right, Mum. Well, that's great. Thanks, Mum. That's brilliant for keeping us up to date on the local news.
Well,
of Coombe Road,
I'm sorry there's not a great deal of news.
No, that's enough. The Dingles are still annoying everyone. That's fine. We'll catch up next week and you can tell us more about
the
Dingles.
I'll keep you informed anyway. Yeah. I'll keep you informed about that.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Mum.
All right, then. Well, take care,
I'll speak
everyone.
To you next week if I don't speak to you before.
Yeah, I might even come back to London, you know. yeah. and stay with you a few days.
Okay, yeah.
All right,
I'll get
yeah,
you every night.
Sure.
Yeah, all right then.
Right, right. Okay.
Okay.
All right then.
Cheers,
lots
man.
Of love. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
You're listening to the best of
Newsish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons.
It's now time for local news. Thelma, Keith from down the road's been stealing Kirsty's Wi-Fi. It's local news. Hello, Mum.
Hello.
You there? Yes, you're there. Hello.
Hello, I'm here. But before I start on the local news,
all right, yeah.
can I just mention Shuey?
Well, you need to explain what Shuey is.
Right, well, Shuey is a dear friend of mine.
Yeah.
And on the 8th of October, she is doing a charity row. She's going to row down the Thames. And okay. She can't swim, so they're going to have lifeboats there and everything.
Okay.
And she's doing it with a bunch of girls
okay.
and a right mixture, a Somalian, Irish, English, Caribbean,
okay.
and then this three, uh-huh. who's a South East London girl.
Okay.
anyway, but, so if anyone wants to donate any money to this charity, it's a sailing club. And it's called Oi You. No, not Oi You. Sorry, Ahoy. Ahoy.
Ahoy.
Sorry.
Oh,
God.
The hashtag Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Right.
It's fitting with
so, and it's based in Greenwich.
Yeah.
And they give free sailing lessons
okay.
to children at risk and disadvantaged
yeah.
families
all right.
and all that.
Yeah.
And so she's got to raise £270. And she's already... Are you listening?
I'm listening. It's just...
And she's already got £100.
Okay.
So her team is called Hoss.
Mum.
And she's got a donation page.
Okay. All right,
all
Mum,
right.
you can tell us the donation page at the end. But
oh, okay, then. All right,
the
well,
end.
About the street.
Okay, so it's local news. So basically, just for any new listeners, my mum is meant to be coming on the show and telling us her local news, the news of the area that she lives in. She did a plug, because my auntie Shuey, one of those
yes.
aunts that's not your
auntie
biological...
Auntie Shuey,
yeah,
your auntie Shuey.
Yeah, all right, is doing a charity sort of row down the Thames to raise money. Good.
Right,
so,
Mum,
what's going on?
Yeah, and it's on the 8th of October.
Oh, Mum, you're meant to do
Sunday
local
news. At 10:30.
Oh, Mum,
right.
Local
news. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Well, local news. Well, I look after. Well, it started off. I was looking after a cat called Felix,
yeah.
and then words got round. So now I'm looking after Felix, Kinky, Charlie, Gino.
These are cats.
Oh,
yeah?
And the one in London, Winston, who. Attacking me.
The one in Winston, that's my cat. That's,
what?
Yeah, then Winston's my cat.
Winston, your cat?
Yeah. I know, yeah. I was just putting it into context so that it...
Oh, right. Well, you know, sometimes I look after these twins, baby twins,
what,
up the road.
Are they cats?
Oily Dave, babies. No, they're babies.
Hang on, how have we moved from cats to babies?
Well, I've finished the cat thing.
Oh, sorry, you're just telling us that you look after loads of cats.
Yeah, well, it's just become, you know, like I'm getting more and more cats.
Are you charging?
It's turning into a business, you know.
Are you charging?
Anyway, well, they kind of donate money, which is very sweet.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I do it, you know, and it's a neighbourly thing. I would do it, you know.
Yeah.
Just out of kindness.
So...
Yeah.
So now you're looking after these two babies that are twins that are Oily
yeah.
Daves?
Oily Dave.
Why is
yeah.
he called Oily Dave?
Because what happened, I call him Donald Trump as well.
Why?
And
he's got
I
little
called
hands.
Him Donald Trump even before Donald Trump was president.
Why?
It's just because he thinks he's this entrepreneur, you know.
Why?
Businessman.
Why does
he? So he just got nicknamed Donald Trump. But anyway,
I thought his name was Oily Dave. You called him Donald Trump. But why do you think that he thinks he's an entrepreneur?
Well, because he thinks he is, you know.
But why? What's he done? Is he trying to invent stuff?
Well, no, what happened? He had a business, and I'm getting to the part why he's called Oily Dave.
Oh, right, okay.
Because he had this little business going and getting secondhand oil and then flogging it.
Oily Dave was getting secondhand oil and flogging it.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
You know, from like fish and chip shops. But the thing is, the thing was, he was getting all these containers, right, of oil, secondhand oil, and the whole house stinks of fish and chips, stale fish and chips. And he, the poor guy, it just the smell won't go.
What's that? Oily Dave's house stinks of fish and chips oil.
Yeah, really, yeah. Greasy, yeah, just awful. And his car stinks of it, he stinks of it. Poor chap. Anyway.
And the twins stink of it as well, the little
twins,
babies?
Yeah, they stink of it.
What are their names?
Oscar.
Oily
and
Oscar and Oily Charles.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But now, he said he was going off to Barcelona and suddenly that didn't work out. Then the other day he was off to the south of France and he hasn't gone.
Why is he not going?
Well, he's not doing very well anyway.
Oh.
But looking after the twins is a nightmare because he says, oh, I'll only be 10 minutes. And then an hour goes by, another hour. And then you decide, right, I'm going to go out. And he's locked you in, and I can't get out.
Sorry, Oily Dave's been locking you in the house with his babies.
Yes, yes.
That's awful, Mum. Don't
look
after the kids.
Well, I'm not
kids.
Doing it anymore. No, I've decided. That's it. I'm not doing
no,
it anymore.
No, that's terrible. You can't
Bloody
lock
kids.
You in the house. That's awful.
I know.
What's Dad, said about that?
I know. Nightmare. So,
what's Dad
anyway.
Said about that?
Huh?
What's Dad said about that?
Well, he doesn't say too much, does he?
No.
Doesn't really say anything.
No.
Yeah, so there's that. And anyway, his business came to a sticky, well, greasy end, you know.
Oh, clever. Nice. Wordplay.
What else? Oh, yeah, the dingle.
Ah, now this is what the listeners want to know about. They want to know the update on the dingles.
The
this is the family that live next door to the left side of you. Yeah.
And
what's going on?
Got a load of rusty cars.
Yeah.
And that, I don't understand it. He keeps buying them and just lets them go rusty.
Yeah.
Well, now he's got another one. And of course, we're on a hill, very steep hill. And he's got bloody bricks at the wheels. Because I suppose it'll roll down the road, you know?
Oh, right.
The brakes can't be working. But it's just a bloody nightmare. I mean, you saw the car that was in the front garden, didn't you?
Yeah, it'd been burnt down.
Time.
It was in the front garden for years.
Yeah, years.
Unbelievable.
Well, there's another pile of rubbish out of the front now.
Oh,
it just looks like bloody set times.
Is Dad there?
Yeah, he is. He's downstairs.
Well, quickly go and put him on the phone. He's scaring
him. Can I just say something?
Yeah.
It's just a big well done to Rich, Uncle Rich, because he's been grouting the bathroom. And it's only taken him just 5 weeks. So well done, Rich.
Well done, Uncle Rich.
Yeah, well done.
Never ends. Where are you? And I'm so sorry. I cannot sleep. I cannot dream tonight. I need somebody and always. This sick, strange darkness comes creeping on, so haunting every time. And as I stared, I counted webs from all the spiders, catching things and eating their insides, like indecision to call you and hear your voice of treason. Will you come home and stop this pain tonight? Stop this pain tonight.
Don't waste your time on me. You're already the voice inside my head. Don't waste your time.
Right, now we're going to talk to our special guest, friend of mine, friend of Mark's. Do you know Jen?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Friend of ours. It's Jen Brister. Hello, Jen.
Oh, hello, lads.
You good?
Yes, Mark. I am. How are you both?
I'm good. Do you want to say hello as well, Mark?
Hello, Jen.
Hello, Mark. you sounded slightly nonplussed about saying hi there. I feel...
Yeah, Sean just put me
hurt.
On the spot, really.
That's fine.
Where are you, Jen?
I'm at home.
In Brighton.
Brighton.
Oh, that's exciting. So don't give us the weather yet, but you're going to give us the weather for Brighton.
Oh, listen, I'm all that amped up for it.
This is brilliant. So, on the show, we've been talking about cover-ups, we've been talking about worst place that you've woken up after a night out.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And sort of elaborate lies. Do you have, like, any sort of... Like, do you have any, terrible excuses you've used to get out of gigs? For example, can I just give you... Can I give one?
Yeah, go on then.
This isn't mine, but Henry Packer once pulled out of a gig. Anyone that sort of knows him, they're not going to be listening to this. Henry Packer once pulled out of a gig on the day by just saying, sorry, I can't make the gig tonight, I'm in France. That is phenomenal.
I'm really hoping that the promoters are listening to this.
They won't be, don't worry.
But I did pull out of a gig.
God, this is great.
Not really that long ago, because I told them I had a corporate, but because I didn't want them to, like, trace it, I told them it was in Turkey. I mean, the most obscure... I desperately didn't want to do the gig.
That
I just didn't want to do it. And then on the day, I thought, I don't want to do this. So I just went, oh... I can't do it. I've got this last-minute corporate in Istanbul. I mean, who's going to believe
amazing.
That?
Amazing. Brilliant.
So, that that is pretty bad.
Wow. Very good.
Yes, very I like the James Dowdwell story. Do you know this one?
I don't. This is. By the way, for listeners, this is what it's like travelling in a car with a comedian after you've bitched about everyone else for about 4 hours. Tell us the James Dowdwell story.
Well, this is as I've heard it. It's like now sort of mythical. But he did this gig, which we've all done at some point. It's like a gig in Maidstone. I won't mention where it is.
Yeah, I know.
But it is. It's awful. And no one wants to do it. And James Dowdwell was on the motorway.
He
arrived at the gig and he thought, oh, I don't want to do this. Like, no, he walked in. That's it, James. He walked into the gig. He looked around. He went, no, I'm not doing this. It was like empty. There's no one there. There's no room. There's no separate part set up for a comedian to do their bit. And he went, oh, I can't be doing this. So he went, got back in the car. He's in the car park of the venue. He phoned up his agent. Phoned up his agent and went, I can't do it. I've broken down. I'm on the M25. I've broken down. I can't do the gig. And then just as he's doing that, the guy, the promoter of the gig, knocks on the window of the car and goes, all right, James, you coming in?
No.
And he was like, yeah, no, it's all right. The car's, it's amazing, it started working again. All right, then, bye. And I had to go in. And you have to do, it's one of those gigs where there's no audience, there's no set, but you've got to do 45 minutes.
Oh, 45
it's the one, minutes. It's the one where half the audience can't actually see the stage, isn't it?
Yeah, where they're around the corner of the other side of the bar. Yeah.
But it's been running like years. I don't know how it's kept going.
Well, I remember when I did it, and this was a long time ago, and the bloke went, 45 minutes, £100. I can't. Yeah. And he said, and I said, yes, a bit tight. He went, I don't know if I've been was paying too much 20 years ago, if I'm not paying enough now. I went, you're not paying enough now, mate. All right, bye. You're not paying enough now. That's the last time I do this gig. £100
for They split it now. Quick. It's two people doing 20s, and they get like, one gets...
£11. Yeah.
Yeah, they split it.
There's no way to leave that gig with any dignity.
No.
No.
Last time I did it, there were three dogs running around.
Well, I mean, that could have been members of the audience. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if that's a euphemism. I mean, you're in Maidstone, so who knows?
And what, have you got anything, by the way, have you got anything to, like, plug?
Oh, have I?
Yeah.
I haven't.
Because I just thought I might as well give you the space. The people do listen to they do listen to the show, believe
do they?
It or not. They do,
okay.
Actually.
All right, well, two things. One, here's a podcast that I do, which no one listens to.
Oh, no, you can't. No competition.
We currently have 100 listeners. Listen, I'm not competing against anyone. Anyone who likes the show Outlander, tune in to Maureen and Jen. Doesn't it sound good? Droughtlander podcast, available on all podcast platforms. Do have a listen. If we went up 50%, that would be like maybe, I don't know, 30 listeners.
You've rehearsed that.
No,
that was so polished.
No, that's what you've got to have. We've got to have your what's it called? You have a pitch, your elevator pitch. That was it. Yeah.
What was that? What's Outlander? What are you on about?
I can't even go into that. That's a wormhole you and I will never get out of.
What? Do you know what it is?
TV? I don't know. I've heard of it.
Show that has been basically dedicated to middle-aged women. That's what it is. That's all you need to know. Middle-aged women. Straight women love it.
Okay.
So I do this podcast with my friend Maureen Younger, who is obsessed with it, and I am obviously the cynical end of the.
Yes.
Is what is this show about? And she's like, oh, you know, just loves it. But and the other thing I want to, you've given me my. This is it. Listen.
Unbelievable.
Before you chuck me off, is on the 21st of November, Sean.
Yes.
Yeah, on the 21st of November, Sean.
Yeah.
I'm doing a show at the Bill Murray, but I'm not doing it with you. Okay, so that's the show I'm not doing with you on the 21st of November.
Is this the show
at the Bill Murray?
Is this the show that me and you agreed to do? But then I'm not allowed to say I'm doing it, but I am doing it.
You are doing it.
I didn't even. Can I just double check that that's in my diary? I shouldn't be doing this on air. This is terrible.
Are doing it. It's in your diary. I've confirmed it with your agent. It's all fine.
Oh, right. So there you go. We can plug that.
But you're not on it, Sean.
So 21st.
But you're not
Bill
doing
Murray,
it.
I'm not doing it. But
you're
will,
not doing
but
it.
But I will be there to watch and support my friend Jen Brister doing new stuff. Oh, that's exciting. I didn't. I'm going to be honest, Jen, I didn't know. I forgot. I didn't put it in my
own. You didn't even know you forgot that you weren't doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. By the way, has your live at the apartment... So basically, a lot of comedians, a lot of their... I don't like using words like goals and stuff, but people, you know, dream when you start dreaming about doing a programme like Live at the Apollo. You've done it. Has it gone out yet?
No.
That's exciting.
Not only has it not gone out,
right.
They don't even know when the transmission date is. So I actually now, I've got so neurotic about it, I think I'm going to be one of the few comedians that's done Live at the Apollo that never goes out on television.
I've got one of the lost episodes that we watch in 20 years' time and realise how good you were.
But by then, I've given up and I'm working in a B&B in, I don't know, Ramsgate.
Right,
yeah.
Jen, it's now time for the weather.
Oh, well, the weather here in Brighton, I'm just...
Oh, hang on, wait, before you tell us. Sorry, I've got a lovely little thing, jingle. Wait there.
That's my
favourite bit of the show. No, it's lovely.
The weather.
Go.
That was... That was... Can you send that to me as an MPEG?
As like a text alert. Oh, hang on, I've got a text.
The weather.
Yeah, I'm on it.
What's the weather? We've got to wrap it up. Sorry, I'm really sorry,
right,
Jen.
The weather is glum, but the sun is peeking through the clouds, and in Brighton it is not windy. Is that weather?
That is literally the weather.
Yeah,
Brighton.
I literally haven't been outside. I've got no idea.
No, that's fine. That's great. So there you go. For people listening in Brighton, it's a bit glum, and the sun's trying to get through the clouds. Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's it.
Well, thank you, Jen. We're now going to play your song, which is Contraption by the OCs.
Yeah.
I listened to the beginning of this. I really like it. I don't know. I've never heard of them.
This is the song that I heard them when I was at... I saw them at Green Man, you know, after I saw you at V Festival.
Oh, yeah.
And I was on my knees. I was so tired. I thought, I'm going to die. And I had to do a set at like 10:45 in the evening after driving from Chelmsford to Wales. And this is the song that made it possible for me... Just get a little bit of energy to do that gig. That wasn't worth doing.
There you go.
That's You're
nice.
Welcome.
Nice little story attached to the song. Thank you, Jen. Okay, well, look, I'll speak to you soon, and I'll see you on the 21st of November. But I'm not on. I'll just see you there.
No, you're not there. No. Okay, all right then.
Cool. Thanks, right. Jen.
Bye.
Bye.
There you go.
Jen
Prister.
That was nice.
Lovely. Very nice.
You're listening to the best of
Newsish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons.
Before we forget the weather from Danny Ward, we'll just tell you it's hashtag World Tripe Day. There you go. That's news from the trending world.
Ah, have you ever eaten tripe?
No.
Is it
the meat? I don't know if it's necessarily the meat day.
Stomach lining, isn't it?
But tripe also means rubbish. Could be World Rubbish Day. I don't know. I actually don't know which one it is.
I wouldn't think it would be World Rubbish Day. They call it World Rubbish Day, wouldn't they?
Okay. Fine.
It's horrible stuff.
So it's World Tripe Day. Tripe, for those that don't know, you probably do. It's the stomach lining of a cow or other animals.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, I've never had it.
Never had it?
Huh?
No, don't bother.
There you go.
You're vegan now.
Well, if you have anything to say about that, tweet it. Hashtag World Tripe Day. Now it's time for my favourite part of the show. It's the weather. It was meant to be weather with Bobby Mair, but the comedian Bobby Mair, but his phone was turned off and we couldn't risk getting to this point in the show and not... having a guest. So luckily for us, go on.
But he then did get to us.
Oh, he did get in touch and sound ready. But we then couldn't drop the person we got in as a replacement.
No.
So here is the replacement. It's Danny Ward with the weather. Hello, Danny. Oh, hello.
Hiya, boys. How you doing? You all right?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
You could have dropped me. It's all right. I wouldn't have. It'd have been all right.
It would have been fine. I just, I didn't, you know, you've done us a favour.
Always the bridesmaid, isn't it?
where are you?
Oh, spit and feathers, mate. I'm outside a Quick Fit somewhere.
You're outside a Quick Fit?
Yeah.
Why?
So I got the two front tyres are as bald as a coot, so I've got to get a couple of new ones on.
Right.
12 o'clock was the appointment, and when I tell you, it's literally just been rolled onto the ramps now.
Unbelievable.
So how long are you going to be there for?
Speculating here, about another 20 minutes.
Okay.
We've only got... I've been waiting an hour. It's like the B&Q thing. You go to these big companies and you expect, you know, good service.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you go to Mrs. Miggins' Kitchen Co., you get what you're given, right? But, like, the reason why you go to these big companies is you're expecting better service.
You You sound like one of those drunk people you get that do phone-ins at 3 a.m. on local radio. This is brilliant. I want a new section, Danny's Rant.
Yeah.
Where we ring,
I got plenty on.
What else has annoyed you lately, Dan?
Was Mark talking? Mark, were you talking about me with the plastic bag thing?
Yeah, that was Danny.
What?
Yeah. Doesn't buy the plastic bags.
Is that you? Yeah. Why did you tell us? He's on the show. But you steal plastic bags? What about the environment?
Not stealing. You can charge 5p for a bag,
yeah,
or you can have self-service checkouts. You can't have both. That's my feeling.
Oh, God.
Something kicks in me. I don't know what it is.
The most annoying people in the world are the people that haven't figured out yet how to use self-service. Because I used to get annoyed at self-service. When it first came out, you'd think, why can't this just be a person? It's been like over 10 years now. Just work it out. You scan it, you put it there. I know it's annoying, but you put it next to it there on the metal bit, right? And then you press pay. That is really simple.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, there should be... I've got a few theories about these sort of things, but really you should have to have some sort of test, like a driving test, shouldn't you? And then there's one you can use, but only if you've got, like, accreditation.
I mean,
that's good.
That should be applied to most things in the world.
Yeah.
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 Okay. So have you, by the way, have you got anything that you borrowed that you haven't given back? Or vice versa? That you've lent out and haven't got back?
Lent out and haven't got back? Let's have a think about that. A couple of DVDs, but, like...
Of course.
Getting up on those anymore, isn't it? Sort of lost interest in those.
No one wants them back now, do they?
What about...
Can't give them away.
What about a near-death experience?
Oh, a few of those. Actually, I tell you what, I saw a shark once when I was... When I was doing my...
In the water?
Yeah. I was doing my paddy, they call it, don't they? When I was... I want to say skydiving, but it's the opposite.
What's the opposite of skydiving is swimming, probably.
Like, swimming
not
up.
Snorkeling, the other one. Snorkeling, diving. I was doing me diving, weren't I?
Scuba diving.
Scuba diving in Australia years ago. I saw a shark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said that twice. It's good.
Well, that's it, yeah. I mean, I lived to see the...
Was it a big, like a dangerous one, or just like one of those little ones?
Reef shark, apparently, Mark. Reef shark. But they have been known to attack humans, but not often.
So just seeing a shark isn't a near-death experience. Danny, I'm sad to tell you this. I want to talk to you more, but the problem was that Maccabees song was so long that we don't really
have
any...
The show finishes at one, doesn't it?
Yeah, we don't really have any time to speak to you because we've also got to play the song that you've chosen, which is Natalie Imbruglia.
There's a funny reason for that, which I couldn't tell your producer. I was too embarrassed to tell her why I chose that.
Well, tell us now.
Well, it's the 20-year anniversary of something in my life this month.
What?
October 97.
What?
And this was playing when it happened.
What?
Well, it's not for me to come onto a show, is it, and talk about the anniversary of people losing their virginities. But and this album is playing.
That is amazing. He's announced his virginity. That is a great way to close the show. Danny, what is the weather where you are outside Quickfit in Stratford?
Okay, it's bright, it's overcast. You've got a southwesterly wind about 14 degrees. It's unusually warm for this time of year, about 18. With good visibility,
brilliant
speed of about 14 miles an hour.
Thank you, Danny. That's the weather in Stratford outside Quickfit. Go and see Danny live if you haven't seen him yet. He's fantastic. That has been the News Is Radio Show. I have been, of course, Sean Walsh, joined as always by Mark Simmons. Go on to iTunes, rate the show for us, leave nice comments.
Buy tickets to my show.
Buy tickets to Mark's show.
AngelComedy.com.
There you go. Right. Okay. That's the end now. Thank you.
I saw a man brought to life. He was warm, he came around like he was dignified. He showed me what it was to cry. Well, you couldn't be that man I adored. You don't seem to know, seem to care what your heart is for. Well, I don't know him anymore. There's nothing where he used to lie. Conversation has run dry. That's what's going on. Nothing's fine, I'm torn. I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel. I'm cold and I am.
My inspiration has run dry. That's what's going on.